Blog Talk Radio.
He's a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, my business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't wanna die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor. Don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, sleeping peace tonight. American soldier.
Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can see more of the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. Thank you very much for coming to the show. We got a great lineup tonight. We have Justin Bennett Thomas on, as well as Mark Willis will be calling in this evening. And I just want to bring up for our show next week, we will have folks on from the organization Angel Heart Farm, and you can check them out by going to www.angelheartfarm.net. And it's an awesome organization that links children with cancer up with animals kind of as a therapy to help them cope with what they're going through in their young lives. So when I get the link out and everything, people please share that with everyone so we can get a good audience, people coming in, so we can give a great promotion for this awesome organization. And I'm really looking forward to having them onto the show and tell them what they do for those sick children. Please share it around when we get there. And so you can also share this the link to this show tonight and spread it around as well. It would be much appreciated. For tonight, we will talk about the Obama phony, as he calls it, scandal. But, of course, that's not so for many, including our guest. I mentioned is Justin Bennett Thomas, who was targeted by the IRS, and he will give us some updates on the investigation. And recently he's been on Greta Van Susteren, and in the description you can get a link to his interview with her. And also he's been to D.C. to attend the Ways and Means hearings, and most recently I believe testifying at the Ohio General Assembly Oversight Committee on the issue. And this is from the press release. Says, Oversight Committee announces witnesses for Thursday's hearing on Ohioans targeted by IRS. State Representative Mike Davila, chairman of the House Policy and Legislative Oversight Committee, today announced 5 confirmed witnesses who will appear at the field hearing. No excuses stopping the unlawful targeting of Ohio taxpayers. And he continues, I applaud these Ohioans for answering our call to testify in front of the committee. It is unacceptable for any resident of our state, regardless of political affiliation, to be targeted and harassed for simply exercising his or her right to petition our government. The Oversight Committee has also extended an invitation to the Cincinnati IRS agents and managers who have been singled out in media reports to give these federal employees an opportunity to set the record straight. He continues, I am deeply disappointed that none of the Cincinnati-based employees have responded to our committee's request. And tonight we will also be covering and promoting the defunding of Obamacare. And without further ado, I will let on our first guest here, and that is Justin Bennett Thomas. Thank you very much, Justin, for coming into the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Great. Thank you very much. And it was very nice of you to – you're taking a break, I know, taking a little vacation, I believe, and taking the time out to talk to us tonight. For that, we really appreciate it. So we'll get right to it, because I know you only got about an hour with us tonight. So if you could just give us an update on how things went at the committee hearing and any other updates on the IRS schedule or scandal you could tell us about. Go ahead.
Sure. So the big update, as you led with, was the hearing with the Ohio House Oversight Committee, and they looked at this from an equal protection standpoint. They had 4 confirmed guests, as you noted. One of them was representing a group that was a C3, one representing a group looking for C4 status. One of them was personally audited, was not able to show. Actually, 5 guests planned. The third group who was involved had a religious affiliation targeted on a basis of that, and of course, you know, my story, I was an individual included within one of those letters, the only known person in that case.
Okay, and any other updates on, you know, when you're down at the hearings or anything else that you've heard of that perhaps, you know, us who's not as in it as you are, you know, you could tell us about?
Well, the Ohio hearing, we'll start there. I indicated there are 4 people there referencing 4 different ways of being targeted. Each of them has had a delay in their approval, and 2 of those have not yet received an answer. The federal level, both the House and the Senate, continue to look at the information at hand. The Ways and Means Committee, in particular, released little bits and pieces as we go. But both of them are in a research phase. For those comfortable with the lawsuit analogy, they're in discovery. So there's an overview of information that they're coming through, and the next step will be to call witnesses, either from the IRS or perhaps those of us, again, who have been impacted. So in some ways it's a wait and see, and in some ways we're learning new information daily. There was a release, for example, this morning from the Ways and Means Committee where they discussed the percent of people impacted and the percent of people approved or not approved. Everyone who asked for it on the progressive side was approved. Everyone who was involved on the conservative side was not. So that's a misleading statement. All of them were given consideration and questioned. Some of them withdrew. Some of them are pending. Very few of them have any real resolution, unfortunately, at this stage.
And so one of the questions
The Senate has not released a significant amount of information.
And you think there's a lot that's being withheld on purpose or a lot of resistance?
There's certainly a lot being withheld. There's certainly a lot being withheld from the IRS to the research bodies. Even with downgrading the number of documents that they wanted to provide, they're looking at less than 1% of the total promised at this point. So,
wow.
I guess there are two ways in discovery. If you're on the defendant side, one of them may be providing too much information to comb through, hoping to overload the system, and one is providing too little, and the IRS is taking that latter case.
It looks like they're taking, too little. What would be the next step to get more information out of them, or is the Department of Justice involved or anything, or you getting any trouble from them, or
well,
I guess it's
pure conjecture at
question.
This point. That's right. It's pure conjecture at this point as the information is coming in. Both the Ways and Means Committee and the House Finance Committee have the ability to call people in under subpoena and to ask them questions. Of course, as we saw, they can plead the Fifth as would be able to do in a in a legal setting. Depending on what they find, there is the possibility of legal action, but you know that we haven't seen any of that out there, nor have they testified of any significance along those lines. I would. As I understand it, the biggest part is the sharing of information. There's a statute called 6103, and that limits the way and the volume of taxpayer information that they're allowed to access. Again, it's absolutely acceptable for the IRS to ask questions, provided it's in line with identifying the C3 or the C4 status. It is not okay to target individuals. It is not okay to ask the content of prayers. It is not okay to work in conjunction with the other agencies, as we've seen in Texas, the lady at the FBI and the ATF and others come and visit her firm. Those are very clearly on the wrong.
And what about, Obama's, charge that all of these are just phony, made-up scandals in order to, on him and also with a, whatever else he's saying about it. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously, you and your family has been directly affected by it, and so here he's out there calling these, phony scandals, and go ahead.
Yeah, so I can tell you it's not phony. I'm included by name in these letters. My family now has significant risk immediately and in the future, the least of which would be an audit, and the most of which would be interaction between the agencies. Not that I've done anything wrong, but definitely can drag it through the system if that's the intent. I don't suggest that's the intent today, but those are the risks on the ground, and those are the risks that those are the outcomes rather that we've seen in that case in Florida. So this isn't as out there as we'd like it to be.
Right, and it's not just and you pointed out earlier with only 1% of the information coming out. It sounds like it's definitely much more widespread than was first thought.
Yes, and today there was a release as well from Ways and Means where they had mentioned a few groups that had been pre-approved in 30 or 40 years ago that are now being questioned again and have been audited in order to prove that they continue to live by. again, an audit is a reasonable expectation that you can have as a business. But if you're going backwards in a political manner, and in this case, some of their lawyers, some of their employees had shifted from their campaign, their organization rather, into at some point Sarah Palin's campaign. That seems to be, to use an earlier term out of this White House, a little bit fishy.
Yeah, I know there's definitely some thought that, and of course we're looking backwards, that this, you know, because in 2010, you know, the Tea Party, you know, was very, very much in the media, very effective in getting, you know, some candidates elected. But then it seems in 2012, they're really quiet, and a lot are speculating or contending that, you know, this had a large part of what some would call the ineffectiveness or not as effective in 2012 from the Tea Party as in 2010.
I think there's some truth to that, in that we had resources collectively spent in the wrong places. In other words, a large volume of people nationally assigned to defend against or respond to these various queries. But I also think that a lot of the work is being done at a much more local level. That's absolutely necessary, but that's not quite as sexy of a cover story on the media. I can tell you from close contacts across the state and central committee and like roles, there's been a significant amount of movement behind the scenes to try and silence them and minimize their impact. And that should tell all of us that our movements are appropriately focused.
And what's your thoughts on the media coverage, both, you know, liberal and conservative, of the IRS scandal?
Well, you know, it was a topic of several weeks, which is very unusual. Now we have some in Washington suggesting that was phony or an error. But again, all the documents released thus far, as well as my personal experience, indicated neither phony nor minor. So I think that we'll see a continued focus. I think on a national level, it may be a little bit less directed, but that doesn't mean that there isn't work ongoing in Washington or notice taken at the local levels. Again, going back to the Ohio rally, it's an equal protection look at things. It's true that the Ohio House doesn't have direct oversight to the IRS. However, they do have responsibility to the groups that work here, the employees that work here, as well as the individual citizens being targeted. And on a optics level, Cincinnati has really been in the forefront of this, Cincinnati being one of the largest cities in Ohio. And as a result, it makes their state look very very poor, a very big government, and those are things that we try not to be.
Ryan, I know the city council, you know, there in Cincinnati, it's pretty much all Democrat and liberal. And I was talking to one of the candidates who's going to be running for the Republican Party, I guess, this past weekend. She's going to be running under the Republican ticket. So we're working on actually having her onto the show, you know, for her calls. Because right now, I mean, there's not any conservative voice, you know, on the city council there in Cincinnati. So, you know, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, a lot of resources are, you know, are being spent on, you know, people defending themselves, you know, things of that nature. Or, you know, I'm sure you've got travel costs and everything else to go and, you know, testify, you know, go down to D.C., things of that nature. And there's going to be no way to compensate these folks, both in time and in treasure, for, you know, having to deal with this.
Not of any significant nature. You can sue the federal government if you've been wrong and can quantify those wrongs. But your reimbursement, if you win, is your actual losses, unless they can prove that it's a civil rights violation. You're going to exceed your expenses many times over. So the laws are written, in other words, to protect themselves.
Now, could it be seen? I mean, I'd say some would argue that it could be seen in that light as a civil rights issue.
I think, I think you can make that case. I'm not a lawyer. Lawyers have not yet taken that stance, to my knowledge, but I do think you could make the case when you're looking at their keywords. Tea Party in itself doesn't seem like a very scary term, nor does Patriot, nor does American, nor does Constitution. We select those terms as a very purposeful act. It would also be interesting to see if there are any known affiliations behind the scenes for the groups or people who are identified that, that may switch that category as well. But my position is that it was politically driven and not not any other means. And politics, to some degree, I guess, could be civil rights, but it's not that they selected people, I don't think, based on their religion, for example, or the color of their skin. I don't believe that's the case.
But they did use, ask about their religion in some of the questionnaires. I don't know if you, you know, I'm not a lawyer either. I don't know if they could.
Yeah. No, you know, that statement's correct. There was a Christian group who's asked for the content of their prayers. Right. I understand later there were Jewish groups asked about their relationship to the state of Israel, and those seem to be walking the line. Obviously, a Christian organization would at least be supportive of prayer, whether or not that's part of their mantra is a private matter. But it's absolutely inappropriate to ask about the content or even, frankly, to ask about their prayer. So there are questions that are related to what a group does. And I think it's fair to assume that those sorts of things happen. However, the IRS can only ask and should only ask questions as to whether or not it's a C3 or C4, which would mean is it politically driven, and prayers are not a politically driven matter and therefore not a relevant or fair or appropriate question.
Yeah, and there's definitely you know, folks out there, including another guy I have on the line here who's going to be joining us tonight, and that is Mark Willis. And he's got some things that he's going to contribute here for tonight on this topic with the IRS, including a resolution about the IRS that's going to be brought in front of the RNC during the RNC meeting. So at this time, I will bring Mark on. Thank you very much, Mark, for coming on to the show. And for those who have not listened to you on to the show, if you want to give us a little background on you and then what you're going to be bringing up for the spring meeting here in a couple of weeks, the RNC spring meeting, go ahead. And Mark, Justin, Mark.
Hey, Robert and Jeff, good to be on the show. We are preparing to bring a resolution. There's two resolutions that are on our mind right now. One with the IRS, obviously, it evolved to a point where myself and Dimitri DeMonte, the secretary of the party, we are both bringing similar type IRS resolutions to the summer meeting in Boston here in a couple of weeks. So we got together and basically merged our two resolutions together because you only want to have one. You don't want to be having two similar resolutions. It's just kind of a waste of time. So we worked together and kind of as you guys, you know, talked about the different violations of the IRS. We talk about the conservative organizations and Tea Party groups that were seeking legal tax exempt status from IRS were experiencing extra scrutiny, long delays, interrogative questioning, excessive requests, et cetera, going back to 2010, March in 2010. And so we kind of lay out all those things in the whereas clauses. And then towards the end, we resolve, because every resolution you have to resolve to do something or request something. And so there's three different resolve clauses, but the one that I got worked with Demetra to get in, it really was an exercise of a good exercise of somebody brand new to the RNC, working with someone who's been up there for a while and actually coming to an agreement. So the last resolve says that the members of the RNC urge congressional Republican leaders to initiate a comprehensive and complete review of the IRS, the federal income tax system, and then strongly consider a simple flat tax and or elimination of the income tax, as well as the elimination of the IRS altogether. So that's about as strong as it gets up at the RNC. I know Ted Cruz has talked about abolishing the IRS. Ron Paul had said that in the past. And even Steve Forbes had just come out with an article about that. So this is basically the same sentiment, but it's put in language that can get across the finish line so we get this out there. And so what happens when you pass a resolution like this to tell someone like Ted Cruz, hey, you know, Senator Cruz, we've got your back. You know, we believe in what you're talking about, and, you know, keep up the good fight. So for all these reasons with the IRS scandal, I had put my resolution together. Turns out Demetra had one that she was working on. We crossed paths, put it together, and so this is what we have regarding the IRS for the summer meeting coming up in a couple of weeks.
Justin, if you'd like to respond, go ahead.
Well, definitely step in the right direction. We'd be interested to see how that vote goes if adopted. I know there are some shenanigans behind the scenes, as usual. We need to coalesce on a clear plan. This cannot continue. I'm not sure if that plan means the IRS goes away or that there is true oversight and activity or simplification at a bare minimum of the tax code, but I agree wholeheartedly this cannot continue. We cannot attack or purposely single out and target individuals, nor can we do that of groups. So kudos.
Well, thank you. We also request that Congress continue its investigation into the IRS, how they targeted the conservative groups and the individual conservative and Republican donors, too. And then we also ask that the IRS put in place an open and transparent process to ensure that the targeting of any particular group be stopped immediately and persons involved in the scandal be immediately removed from employment without severance packages or bonus money. So we're bringing this forward, and I think a lot of things like this is that when the IRS scandal broke, you know, there was a huge groundswell. That's all we were talking about. And that was, what, 2 months ago? And now other things have materialized. And so we're talking about it tonight, but you're not hearing as much about it as you did a couple months ago. So this is good that we keep that narrative going. And in the process, with something like a resolution, you've got something on paper, you know, one page pretty much, that you're constantly educating people. You know, one thing that people talk about Ron Paul last year with his campaign is how many people did he wake up and educate along the way, even though he fell short. He educated a lot of people about a lot of different issues that they just weren't paying attention to. So this is all part of the process that, you know, if you're going to save the country, you're going to turn this thing around, you have to go for it and really, you know, aim high. But at the same time, understand that if you fall short, you're still educating people along the way. And the next time, maybe you'll be a little bit more successful.
And to add to that, it'll, I assume, go to the equivalent of a conference committee and be watered down a bit. So you definitely need to start high. I have to discuss the next we can give.
Yeah, and with this resolution, you know, with the RNC rules, and I believe Demetra does have the 10 co-sponsors, what happens is it goes through the committee up and out for a full vote. It can make it out of the committee without being chopped up or amended. So that's the whole point. If you can get 10 co-sponsors on a resolution, then it passes through, and the resolution committee will just vote up or down to approve it or not, or recommend approval or not. So I'm pretty confident this is gonna get through probably, you know, unscathed into the main body on Friday, August 16th.
Great. Yeah, what are your thoughts beyond that, if I could interject?
No, go ahead, Justin. Go ahead.
What would you give the odds beyond that? How do you feel the General Assembly will vote, in other words?
The General Assembly, what normally happens is, If this makes it through the committee and they recommend it to be passed, what they do is they'll probably have, in the General Assembly, you'll probably have like 10 to 15 resolutions that are brought. Because you've got 168 members of the RNC, and any member can bring a resolution forward. And they only have 2 or 3 hours in the committee to hear them and address them. So normally, historically, the chairman of the resolution committee would stand there at the microphone and say that, like, for example, 15 resolutions were submitted, one might be withdrawn for whatever reason. We have 14 that we recommend for approval. and they take a vote right there to pass all 14. They don't go through each one.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they could. Somebody could make a point of order, and they would actually, you know, do it by resolution, but that's probably not going to happen because there's other things that have to happen on the agenda to move things along. And so normally, yeah, you have everybody has a copy of the resolution in front of them when they sit down at their seat, and they can look through it. And for many people, it's the first time they've ever seen it. So people probably aren't going to stop the clock and call for a by resolution vote, but it is possible. I guess they could. It would just drag out the meeting a lot longer, and most people don't want to do that.
Okay, I just want to make sure it wasn't going to interrupt anyone. And, you know, if you want to chime back in, Justin. And, yeah, it's a very important. You brought this up, Mark, about, you know, informing people, educating. It's very important. And hopefully the more folks get educated, the more they'll, you know, wake up and get involved. And it's very important if we are going to turn things around, no matter how hard or some people think, you know, impossible it could be, you have to do it because you can't let – you can't let things get you down where you're not getting involved. And unfortunately for me, I see that happening a lot, especially during the off-season, election off-season, where, you know, you get close to an election and folks are, you know, very motivated, they're very involved. But it seems like, you know, things are trailing off after an election year and they have to stay involved because that's, you know, when you're lulled to sleep and then you have all these other things, you know, that are kind of distracting people. You know, I mean, yeah, like the Zimmerman, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. You know, the Zimmerman trial and everything that happened with that. Now, I just don't see where on a long-term scale that was just something that deserved as much media attention as it got. I mean, that those sort of things happen, you know, a lot. And so, but for it to draw as much media as it did, I just think there's definitely other things such as, you know, not just the IRS scandal, but Benghazi, you know, things of that nature going on that are much more important, deserve much more coverage. And also, one thing I like to see get more coverage is also about the RNC meeting, especially to the grassroots, because all this is important to the grassroots. The grassroots have an influence, maintaining influence in the political system. Is the way these roles are going to be, handled in this next meeting. And I know, Mark, that's another thing that you're working on, for the 14th to the 16th next month. And if you could share that some more with us, I think myself and the audience would appreciate it.
Well, yeah, so the other thing that we're fighting for, and you're right about the grassroots coming out in numbers. From what I've heard, the Boston meeting might be the biggest of all as far as turnout for the grassroots. I mean, you get people coming from Texas and
awesome.
You know, not exactly around the corner from Boston. So we are our big battle. The big thing that we're you know, we talked about this before on your show is the rules that were passed or, you know, erroneously invalidly passed at the Tampa convention. And this is it. This is the nuclear option. For the RNC rules, and this is our big battle. The IRS resolution is great. That's going to be far less controversial than the rules resolution that I have, and that is basically a rule resolution that lays out all of the House of Representatives rules, because a lot of people don't know that in the convention itself, the controlling rules on the floor are the House of Representatives rules, not Robert's Rules of Order. Those rules were violated in this resolution by chapter and verse, lays out the actual rules that were violated and what should have happened and what didn't happen. And so the RNC right now is flying under a set of 2012 rules that are invalid, that were not properly passed. And what this resolution does is it lays out the case once and for all to all the members of the RNC. Educates, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, we are educating every single member, because there are new members that come and go, new chairman, and different people take off and come back. And they don't always make every meeting. They send proxies. So this is a chance to get the message out to every single member and get them once and for all on what happened. If you don't know what happened in Tampa, You will not have an excuse after the summer meeting in Boston. You will not have an excuse to say, I didn't know. These rules have to go back to 2008. And if they don't, then good luck in 2016 for many reasons. One, the rules are stacked for the money, the big money establishment candidate, no doubt about it. And two, you just basically turn the grassroots around and kick them in the rear end and say, no, we don't need you. And, you know, Morton Blackwell's talked about the Romney-Ginsburg power grab, and he did what he could in Los Angeles and fell short for the Rules Committee. This is taking a different tack. This is going taking it straight to the RNC body on Friday. If I can make it out of the Rules Committee, the Resolution Committee, if they don't kill it right there in the committee, they may very well, they might rule it out of order, Robert, and that's it. They might say, this is no good, we're not going to hear it. And that's fine, I go to the press. So if they rule out of order, we go to the press, and we hold a press conference and tell them what's going on. If it makes it to the same body and it fails there, we go to the press. If it passes, we go to the press. Either way, we're going to the press. So we're taking it directly to all the members and giving them a chance for an up or down vote if it can make it out of the resolution committee. If it doesn't and it dies, then, you know, and then it does. And this is the last battle that I'm going to be doing for the rules as far as an RNC member. If another member wants to pick up the standard and carry it forward in future meetings, I will work to help them. But this is my, you know, somewhat, you know, second, third bite of the apple here.
Right.
We tried it in Charlotte. In Charlotte, we tried a similar resolution that was based upon the resolution we passed in Maine, and it was ruled out of order. And then Morton got his amendment passed to have the rules fight in Los Angeles. So I kind of backed off from that and, you know, got behind Morton with his approach, and that fell short. So this is like, you know, this is the last time I'm coming back. We're going to, like I said, go for the nuclear option and see if it works. If it doesn't, then we can honestly say those of us who have been involved in this fight, you know, people in the grassroots, you know, if you go to libertyroll.com, they've got all the information on this whole rules battle at libertyroll.com. You should go there and check it out. You know, they've got everything from all the rules, and they're trying to get people to do some money bombs for them to send them to Boston so they're not spending too much of their own money.
Right.
It's a good group of activists and grassroots supporters, and they're out there, you know, on the front lines, really fighting this good fight. So I'm basically their advocate at the RNC, but you talk to them one-on-one and some of the stuff, they're even more, you know, better versed in it than I am. They've really taken this seriously, and but for them, we wouldn't have even a chance to be in the position we're at now. So as an advocate for them, when I ran for this position, I let everybody know that the grassroots would have a voice through me, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
And I believe that you were talking about Brian Daugherty and Nicole Rebels. I believe two of the individuals,
yes,
that you talked with, and they, yes, they were on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about as well. I think it wasn't last week, but it was the Wednesday before that. We had them on. I believe you were on as well to talk about the rules, because as I said, it is very important. And I know, Justin, one of the things that I guess got you involved with the IRS scandal was your time, or at least the association with, was it the Liberty Township Tea Party, that group? Is that true, if my memory serves correctly?
I was included in the questionnaire to Liberty Township, but I've actually never worked with Liberty Township. That's part of the auditing the situation.
Okay.
But yes, to your question, I was involved in the Tea Party earlier as a founding member of the Cincinnati Tea Party group, a half an hour south of there.
And do you see a resurgence, you know, after this is all said and done with the IRS, do you see, you know, maybe a resurgence of the Tea Party and grassroots activism that way?
I don't think the Tea Party's ever died or even slowed down. They've just shifted from big rallies to, you know, they noticed the grindstone. They've become engaged. Many are candidates. Many are sitting on the central committees. some are employees of officials. So they're, in other words, elected officials, influencers of officials, and true activism in many cases. Others have decided to shift gears to a more educational basis, so there are quite a few groups who work to educate the public in various manners, specifically on our founding documents and our application today. So I'd have to challenge you on your statement of resurgence. I don't think we've left. I think that we're just a little bit under the radar.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. And what I meant by that, maybe I'll clarify, is, you've seen them a lot in the media, and I think it is important. These rallies, while they may not have the same effect as behind the lines, and I agree. I mean, actually, boots on the ground, doing the work, educating, getting involved, being in key positions, things of that nature. That's definitely important. But it's also important to be seen, because that's what gets the media's attention, and that's what brings more attention to folks. The way society is, people want to belong to large groups, so I think that can bring more folks. So maybe resurgence might be an incorrect word to use, but I guess in the context of visibility in the media is probably where I was, more heading as they were in 2010. I'm sorry?
In that context, I think there's some truth there. But remember, many in the media have an agenda to serve, so...
That's true.
What needs to happen is doing the work, whether or not the media pays attention. The elected official needs to know that you're there. And with a high percentage, they're well aware, because if nothing else, as engaged citizens are calling to say, to share their thoughts on a particular bill and to thank them or to give them an earful accordingly after that vote occurs. So things aren't done quietly in Washington anymore. Things are watched very closely, and they get consistent feedback both on the goods and the bads. That we haven't stopped as many things as I'd like, but there are things that are stopped behind the scenes, before it gets out of committee, and there are things that are mitigated or minimized when they get there. I don't suggest a perfect record, but I do think we're better off for this engagement.
And I've got a question from the chat, Mark, for you to repeat the name of the website again with the roles information. That's libertyroll.com. That's R-O-L-L, correct?
Yes. Yes, all one word, libertyroll, R-O-L-L.
Okay. And one thing I want to move to now, because it's quarter to the top of the hour, and I do see some folks in the switchboard who may want to chime in or ask any questions or anything of that nature, or just listen in that way, that's fine. But if you do want to chime in, just press 1 on your number dial, or if you're calling in through Skype, just send me a message either through the chat here at Blog Talk Radio or through Facebook, and then I'll bring open up your mic. And mics do stay open here on the show. But, well, as part of the picture I was kind of putting out there was a quote from Sarah Palin talking about, how we have this IRS scandal, and it's, the IRS who are going to be in charge of, in some ways of monitoring or had, a lot to do with the Obamacare. And one of the things that we want to talk about tonight is the movement, the petition going out there, we'll talk about later, about defunding or stop funding Obamacare. So, we have that link there between the IRS and Obamacare. And I'd like to start with you, Justin, and what you think the Tea Party or anyone else can do for, getting that out there and getting people involved and getting a hold of their Congress, then senators, things of that nature, to get them to defund and or stop funding Obamacare. Using our experience with what we've seen with the IRS.
Well, definitely you need to give your elected officials a call, even ones on the other side of the aisle. Remind them of the cases that are very black and white, such as mine. Remind them of the facts on the ground, the ways and means about health.gov. I need to quote the hard facts by a bipartisan committee into their emails inside in a bipartisan manner, and so they would be fair game to reference in those discussions. That's appropriate.
and really one of our final chances. I hesitate to always say last, but one of our final chances to really halt implementation is this debt deal. It's at least not fund Obamacare within this upcoming continuing resolution debt limit extension.
And Mark?
Yeah, I would say, you know, for those who aren't paying attention too much, just take a look at what they're doing with the employer mandate now for 2014. They're postponing it because they want to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
They're going, this
could affect 2013-14.
Right. So the biggest thing I would say to people to educate again and get people involved of supporting the defunding of it, and not just because Ted Cruz is saying to do it, it's to lay out all the things that are coming, you know, in 2014 and beyond. I mean, there's different things that are coming with this every year. So 2014's was going to have the employer mandate. I mean, the serious one, the one that's going to get everybody really scared is in 2018, long after Mr. Obama's, going around probably making $1 million a speech. organizations. 2018 is where you're looking at if you had a quote-unquote Cadillac plan, meaning at least in today's dollars, it's $10,500. Now, 2018, that will not nearly be as much as we have now, right? So in 2018, if you have a health care plan from an employer, if you're still employed by then, okay, if you
yeah,
have a job.
Time, sure.
So let's say you have an employee, a health plan from an employer who's they determine the value to be $10,005 or more. That's going to be considered income on your, when you file your taxes. Okay, so it's going to be basically 10.5 or higher of additional income that you didn't pay taxes on in the year before, so you're going to get stuck with that. That's going to be the final straw for people when they say, wait a second, I didn't know this. You know, and so what's going to happen? And a lot of people are going to opt out. They're not going to want that, or the employer is just going to say, I can't afford to give it to you. So little by little, this nefarious plan of Obamacare is basically trying to discourage employers from giving their employees health care one way or the other. And this employer mandate is part and parcel of that. It's just indicative of how sinister this is. Oh, no, we're just going to postpone it after the election. And you guys didn't even think that far ahead. You thought you were going to be able to slip it in. I mean, after 2014, I guess Obama doesn't care about Hillary or anybody else. He's just going to burn it all down on the way out. But I mean, those are things that I would talk to people about and say, this is why it's so important to defund Obamacare. Give them specifics. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always very, especially with conservatives. We like specifics. We like to hear details. You know, I don't agree with Rush Limbaugh on everything, but he does have a point. And he's made it for over 20 years that elections are about issues. And I've always believed that to be the case. And, if Obamacare was to kick in with all of its provisions, such as the employer mandate in 2014, yeah, I think there could be some cases where anybody with an R next to their name is going to get elected. They've decided they're going to reel that back because they finally figured that out.
Well, if those rules do not get changed, and you know, the grassroots influence or the boots-to-the-ground conservative influence is pretty much flushed out of the Republican Party, I don't think there's going to be very many people with an R behind their name getting voted in as well. That's just my opinion. And bringing up about back to Obamacare, there's even some of the unions that were supporting Obamacare are now doing a 180 and now are opposing it. So, if you've got the unions that are starting to come in and say, hey, wait a minute, this is really going to hurt our employees, you know, and that because a lot of folks are just not going to hire any more full-time, or they're going to knock their full-time down the part-time, like 32 hours, or they're under 32 hours, I should say, more like 28 hours. And that's going to hurt their workers. And, of course, if people are – it's also going to hurt the unions because, of course, that's going to lessen the amount of union fees that they get.
Well,
interesting
note, if I may, the unions aren't fighting the law. They're asking for an exemption for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's really part of their – go ahead.
Not shocking now, but do unto others is something that some of them tend to forget.
And Mark, sorry, I didn't know if I interrupted you, but I heard Bob just wanted to chime in, and so I'd love to, you know, give him that shot.
I agree with Justin. I mean, the Democrats are always far more apt to listen to the unions first than us.
Yeah, and I'm going to get back to what somebody put in the chat. Harriet, and thank you very much for two things. One, for contributing to the chat here, and also for sharing the link after the show tonight for people listening live and then coming back for the archives. And you mentioned something about, I'm scrolling up here, Numbers USA. I guess it might be numbersusa.com. And I know one of the things that Numbers USA does monitor is immigration numbers, things of that nature. But I don't know what stats is that you're talking on. Maybe you could call into the show, Harry, and let us know specifically what you're talking about at 347-945-7428. We can go from there. And that you also put, so I've been suggesting all along to contact daily your state committeeman who will be voting on the rules in Boston and your congressman as well as on behalf of Obamacare. Oh, and I see Red Tracy, welcome to the chat. It's good to see you again. I think I haven't seen you a bit for a while here on the show since, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the election, so it's good to see you in there as well. And as well as Trog, who has a Facebook page, which is Coalition of Freedom, so you can just find that by going to Coalition of Freedom. Just type that in your search engine if you are a Facebook user and check it out. They've got shared a lot of good information there for people to share. And I do see it's almost to the top of the hour, so I do know that our two guests have to go for a little bit. But, of course, you guys can stay longer than the top of the 11 hour. But if not, we really appreciate you both coming on this evening and sharing the information and spending the time. And, Justin, thanks very much. I know you're taking a little vacation there, and you were kind enough to call in. While you're taking some rest after all your activities you've been doing, so thank you very much.
So happy to be here.
So it's about 11 o'clock. I know you both said you had to go, so is there any, if you guys could stay, great. If not, is there any parting things that you'd like to put out there to the audience for them to take with them and to, you know, share out to other folks? Justin?
We've really covered the bases here. Just to recap, the situations where the IRS has targeted individuals, targeted religious groups, targeted both C3 and C4 groups on the basis of their politics. None of that is acceptable. Your other guest at the top with me here is introducing a measure that is looking at ways to kind of curb that. And hopefully the audience will have the ability and the time to reach out to their elected officials, both on the state and the federal level, primarily federal here for IRS, and let them know their thoughts. Primary topic, of course, is the IRS, but also within Obamacare. We have the opportunity again here in a couple of weeks to at least on that, and we should take any opportunity we have to carve away at that bill.
Oh, it was great to have you on. If there's, you know, and you're welcome to come on any time to, you know, give us some updates or to chime in on any of the other topics that we'll be covering here on the show.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. And how about you, Mark? If there's anything, you know, I know you said past 11 o'clock Eastern time, you know, it gets late for you as well. So if there's any passing things or that you wanted to impart to the audience, get them out there, get them motivated, to do what, you know, to help out with anything you're working on. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Robert, what I would say to everybody who's listening, who can write it down, type it, save it, email it to somebody else, is we've got about 2 weeks left before this this meeting kicks off in Boston, and the RNC rules are what they are. Those of you who are listening probably know what I'm talking about. But in case you're kind of not so sure about it, but you know something needs to be done about it, go to libertyrule.com. That's where you can get all the information about the whole rules battle in that situation. Get educated first yourself, then get out there and copy-paste whatever you need to do, send links to Liberty Rule. Get it out to your email list. Send it to whoever you have on your list. Get it out there. And what you got to tell them is that the people in your state need to contact their RNC members. And very respectfully, politely, email is always best. And just ask them to support Mark Willis, National Committee Man from Maine, with his resolution to roll back the rules of 2008. And they all know who I am. If you mention my name, they'll know who you're talking about. And then I have this resolution to get the rules rolled back to 2008. This is it. This is the last shot that I'm taking at it as a member of the RNC. So if they want to step up and try it, this is it. I don't know where it goes from here exactly, but this is the last way to do it through the rules or, in this case, the resolution committee. This is why we're taking it. Again, it's a nuclear option. We're going to try to get it out there for everybody to take a vote on. It's very important that they contact their RNC members. Every state has a chairman and a national committee man and national committee woman. There's three members from each state to the RNC. If you go to any state GOP website, you will find who they are, and you can contact them that way. And that is what needs to happen. And then if you are inclined to take it a step further, I would recommend calling into to radio shows like this one, but all across the country. Go as high as you can. If you can make it to Rush Limbaugh and Hannity, then do it. Get on there and tell them what's going on in Boston. Tell them why these rules have to be rolled back. Tell them why it's so important that if they don't do this, then the Republican Party doesn't stand a chance, does not stand a chance in 2016. And that's it. And all that information, again, to back up those statements, it's all there on libertyrule.com. So you don't have to go into this blind. You can get educated very quickly. And if you're at libertyrule.com, there's also a way for you to help fund some of the grassroots activists to go to Boston if you're inclined to do that. And as you mentioned, Robert, yes, Brian and Nicole are the two big ones with regards to the liberty movement and fighting this fight. So you got to take your hat off to those two. They've done a great job, mm-hmm. and they continue. They don't get discouraged. They just keep coming back for more.
They were over in L.A. I believe they went out to L.A., did they not? I believe we did a report there, that they called in, the report there from L.A. So, they went all the way over there as well, I believe, for the spring meeting.
Yeah, they were there, and, they were there in force, and we actually got them in touch. We had an impromptu meeting with Demetra DeMonte, the secretary. She was very impressed that there were that many grassroots activists and rank and file members there in Los Angeles, and she wanted to meet them, so we had an impromptu meeting with her. So a lot of things happening in these meetings, outside of the regular sessions. You get to talk to the members, and little stories like that are really good to talk about. That we are talking to each other. I think a lot of people realize these rules have to go back to 2008. Whether the political will is there in the RNC to do so, that is yet to be seen. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks.
Okay, great. And before you folks do, actually, there's just a couple minutes for the top of the hour. I do want to bring someone in. I believe this is Cindy on the line. Is that you?
Howdy.
386.
How are you?
Good, good. The two gentlemen, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say hello to our guests tonight before you go, because I know Cindy here is calling in. Right. Oh, go ahead, Sonia. I'm just going to shut up and let you go.
Well, I have a question to ask Mark, because I talked to Morton Blackwell's secretary about a week and a half ago or so, and she said he was going to be putting out an email soon detailing what he was going to be doing at the Boston meeting. But I haven't seen anything come up yet. Do you know anything about what he's got planned?
Yes, I do, and it's not. It's very. If it's what I've been told, it's not like what I'm doing. It's very. It's within the Rules Committee and a very limited scope within working within one rule itself. So the scope, I believe, of what he's going to do is very limited. Not like what he did in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, that's a shame.
He's got, you know, Morton's got his own strategy. That's where he's coming from. I'm going through the resolution committee, like I said, with the nuclear option, and we'll see where it all ends up.
Well, I hope you're successful, because this fight that we're having with our own Rhino establishment in the GOP is taking the wind out of our fight against the real enemy, and I think I just can't help but think they're doing it on purpose. I can't believe they would be dividing their party so badly at a time when we need to come together and have a solidarity with all the aspects of all the factions of the Republican Party, you know, the ones that consider themselves more libertarian, the ultra-conservatives, the moderates, you know, even reaching into the independent party that, you know, the conservative part of the independent party. All those people should be coming together, and our party is just trying to drive a wedge and split everybody up. And they have to know what they're doing. They can't be that stupid, and it's very, very discouraging. What do you think our chances are of pulling this party together?
Well, that is yet to be seen. Obviously, there's divides. I mean, when I ran against Rice for the chairmanship back in January, one of the 8 points was that bringing people together. I said, you just can't talk about it. You have to perform what I call the acts of good faith.
Yeah.
And to instill the confidence again in the rank and file and the grassroots people that this guy's not only talking about it, he's actually doing something. And so tie it back to the rules in Boston. If we can get these rules passed, or this resolution passed, and get them rolled back to 2008, that sends a message. That's an act of good faith, in my opinion, from my position, that's an act of very good faith that, okay, maybe it took us a little longer to get there, and, you know, maybe it took you guys a while to figure it out, but we did it. If we don't get those rolled back and we leave it like it is, that sends another message. So that is something that that I talked about when I ran back in January. If you want to reach out to people who've left the party and say, come on back in, we need you. We may not agree on everything. I mean, for example, up here in Maine, I was the MC of it. I put together a program, and we have 16 counties in Maine. I did it in our own backyard here in Washington County a few weeks ago, where I had a night out with the young Republicans, say 24, 25 and under. I had six young, very talented, young GOPers up there. It was a fundraiser for our county, but it was a chance for people, and a lot of elderly people came out to meet these young Republicans who are the future of the party. And these young Republicans are not all Tea Party Liberty. I made sure that I brought in everybody from across the spectrum. No one could say, oh, you stacked the deck and had too many of these types. We had it spread out, I think, pretty even across the board of a younger representation of what the party's made up of. And you know what? When you had people who totally disagree on almost everything, high-fiving at the end of the night, and people clapping, and our state senator walking out saying this has to happen in every county. There are ways, again, acts of good faith, Cindy. Those are things I'm talking about. Actually, not just talking about it, doing things. It's not a real hard. It's just having an open mind and truly wanting to have that dialogue and bringing the people together. We're doing it up here, and now other counties are talking about having it done there. So that, from my perspective, yeah, you're making money for the county, which is great. At the county level, every county party needs cash for the next election, but you're also starting something, a dialogue amongst different people in the party, and really went over very, very well.
Well, I have a concern that we don't have a lot of time. I feel a real strong urgency that the 2014 goes well for the Republican Party in the Senate, because if we don't get the Senate, you know, everything that Obama is trying to do will get. What do you think about, all right, Rove is going around saying we need to go ahead and fund Obamacare, let it do the disastrous things it's going to do, and let the blame go on the Democrat Party.
And the hell of the people is what it sounds like you're saying. Sorry about that.
I
couldn't help myself.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I was, that's okay. I was very
the
pleased.
The hell with you, as long as it helps the party. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was very pleased that Hannity was back in the way the conservatives are saying, that we've got to defund this thing and get rid of it. But Rove seems to think, and others like him, that if we just go ahead and let this go and then let them receive all the blame for it, because we will get the blame for defunding it, and then if it doesn't work, then everybody's going to blame us for that, that's for sure. But Hannity was saying, look, let's just take that, let's let that happen, because we got to get rid of this one way or the other. If we have to take the blame for it, fine, but we got to get rid of it. It's our economy that is going to die, and you won't get it back if they fund it. And it goes all the way through, and it does the dirty deeds that it was supposed to do, which is to tear down the infrastructure of our healthcare system. Once you tear down that infrastructure, you get rid of all those small insurance companies. You get rid of a lot of doctors. You get rid of some hospitals. Once you get rid of all of that and completely tear it down, then if everybody in the United States all of a sudden wakes up and says, oh, shoot, we made a big mistake with this dumb health care plan thing, there's no going back after that. So I don't see Rove's plan as a decent plan at all. I think we need to stop it, even if we do receive the blame for it. And is Justin still on?
No, he had to go. He said he was actually spending the week on a little vacation with his family. And as I said, that's why I say he's kind enough for him to call in, spend the hour he did with us, while he was on his little hiatus, there. So, but he had to go. He did tell me originally he's only going to be able to stay till about an hour, and then that's probably all the time they'd give him. But I'll really appreciate what he was able to say. But no, he's ended up left, so sorry about that.
That's okay. I just wanted to ask him about the defunding thing, and how are they going to argue against that in the, they got to get that thing out of committee. They got to get it out. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what argument they're going to be able to bring that's going to bring those rhinos over.
Okay, and then I have to ask real quick, Mark. Oh, go ahead. And then I've got other folks when you can chime in. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, Cindy, when I ran against, go back and bring against Priebus again, one of the things that I might be number one actually on my list to go back and look at the 8 points. The top was fire all the consultants. Rove being number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the top of the list.
I see the Democrats sitting around in their little think tanks laughing and saying, I wonder what Rove is going to do for us today. You know, it's like he is their best operative.
Yeah, I would say, Carl, you know, go ahead and register Democrat and just be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Chat, I'll bring this in real quick, Cindy, and then I get the callers get in. I'm going to scroll up here, and it's from, it looks like the Q0. And we'll see if you guys agree with this, and then I'll let you know, I believe, is Trog. Is today's Republican Party looks exactly like the Democrat Party of the 1980s, when the Dems were only a little bit communist, and back then the Republicans only seen eye to eye with the Libertarians. What's your thoughts on that, Mark?
Could you repeat that again, Robert? It was kind of scratchy on my headphones.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says, I got to scroll up here. It says, today's Republican Party looks exactly like the Democrat Party of the 1980s, that when the Dems were only a little bit communist, and back, oh, I keep scrolling up, it says, and back then the Republicans almost seen eye to eye with the Libertarians.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, in some ways, I don't know if, maybe that's true. I never thought of it that way. I'm just knowing that they're definitely tacking in a left direction, and they have been for quite a while. And again, I mentioned this before a few weeks ago. What I am hearing is that if the House of Representatives passes amnesty, if they pass a bill, you know, very similar or close to what we saw come out of the Senate, then people are just going to pack up and leave the party once and for all. They've got one foot out the door already, and the other one's in motion. And if they pass, you know, comprehensive immigration, amnesty, whatever you want to call it, if they pass that other foot's moving forward, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've been told, and I can hear, you know, that's probably going to be coming up in October. So
I think there's a ticker that's going down. I'm trying to find the website, you know, here and there, while we're chatting. That has a petition. If anyone seen the Stop Obamacare now, talks about Ted Cruz and the other guy whose his name escapes me unfortunately at the moment, who he's. You know, sponsoring and co-sponsoring, you know, getting rid of that. If you could put that website, that's got the petition in the chat, that'd be great. It's got like a little ticker, and I think it's like 62 days or 61 days from now there'll be some kind of vote. But at this time, I do want to get Chris in, and Chris is from the Coalition of Freedom that you can find on Facebook. Just go to your search engine and just type in Coalition of Freedom, and Chris, you want to talk more about that as well? That's great. But welcome to the show, and glad you're here.
Hey. How you guys
hey,
doing? Hey, Mark. Good. And everybody, Cindy, Mark.
Hi. How you doing, Chris?
Hi.
You know, I think one of the things that I see, especially with all the different events going on, whether you talk about the IRS or, you know, amnesty or, you know, Obamacare or whatever, the challenge is that we mold down and we focus on the individual issue, and we forget something that's extremely important. You know, there's a globalization going on in this world that is beyond anything that we've ever experienced. Now, I've watched this. I've been in business all my life, and I've watched the movement of our finances, our factories, our industries, you know, all over the world. And you know, we've left America as a shell, and then when the economy crashed, you know, and let me go back a little bit, but when we quit making things and being the industrial nation of the world, you know, we moved into, you know, this banking fiasco that we've been playing since pre-dot-com era, and we became the money masters of the world, where everybody was just was just moving money, whether it was stocks, bonds, you know, investments, brokerages, whatever. And the reason we could do that was because we were the trade dollar of the world and the oil petrodollar of the world. Well, they ran this gambit out until it crashed. And when it crashed, it left the U.S. as a shell. And so when good people who remember America like it was try to get a handle around the insanity of what Obama and his minions are doing and try to get a handle about around why these Republicans will not fight, will not, you know, they could have stopped. I mean, if Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House, he would have stopped Obama 2 years ago because he knows exactly how to do it and because he did it with Clinton, and he has outlined it. And these Republicans will not act. And this is, you know, and I hear Cindy, and I see this with a lot of people, they are disheartened by this. Like, they don't understand it. Well, what you have to understand is there is a lot of wealth to be created by gutting America. You know, America doesn't make a lot anymore. I lived in Alaska my life, and one of the things that used to bother me as a young man before I really understood global economics and global politics was that we would pump oil out of the ground and it would go straight overseas. We would dig up, you know, mineral ore, you know, gold and silver. The ore would go right on a barge to another country to be processed. We would catch fish. They would go right on processing ships that were owned by other countries and go right out of our country. All this stuff is, and same with timber. It would go right out the door. There was no wealth-creating industry off of our natural resources in Alaska. And I remember experiencing that as a young person, but I never understood the implications of it until I got older and gathered enough knowledge of you know, global economics and the fiat dollar and all this and the debt load of this country. But our country gives away the wealth of our country because other countries lend us money. It really gets simple after a while. And I know, Mark, you're, you know, you've got a couple degrees. You're pretty, you know, up on top of this stuff. But I think that sometimes people don't understand. And I'm also a student of Russian history. I spent a lot of time studying Russia and the post-USSR fall. A lot of people, they look at communist countries and they see it through a prism of programming, and they don't understand. Russia was a huge economy at one time, even though it was communist. It still was a global economy. When right before Russia fell, when Yeltsin was in power, Yeltsin had cut deals with all these, you know, European bankers, you know, the people that we, you know, especially in the Liberty Movement, criticize all the time, you know, the IMF and the Fed type people who just rape, pillage, and plunder and make wealth off of lending money to people and getting countries in debt, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Yeltsin, because Russia was struggling, just like the U.S. is right now, they cut all these deals with all these foreign companies, oil industry, gas industry, you know, U.S.-based companies, European-based companies, European banks, and U.S. banks. They went in there, and because the Russian government was so weak at that time because it, you know, it was a communist country, and its productivity was faltering, and these companies, when Russia fell, bled off trillions of dollars of wealth out of Russia before it totally collapsed. This is an actual war strategy. And if you take the time to really study this stuff, Putin gets a lot of criticism, but what people don't understand about Putin and about, you know, Russia is now the largest oil and gas exporter in the world, and everybody's pissed off at Russia because they're very careful, they're almost debt-free, you know, and he's done this in less than 20 years. They protect their currency, they protect their natural resources, they process their own stuff now. When Russia fell, And I know this is a long dialogue, but it's really important to understand this. When Russia fell as a country, they were only getting 20 cents on the dollar for all the oil and gas exports because they were so weak. They let these companies come in and rape and pillage their natural resources. Putin, who has a doctorate's degree, a lot of people, they always talk about his CIA background, but he has a doctorate's degree in the oil and gas industry. He came in, seized back the natural resources of the country, and rebuilt Russia from the ground up. And they're still rebuilding their industry and things like that. But the first thing they went after was recontrolling their natural resources. And so what you see happened in Russia post-USS fall is exactly what's happening in America right now. And so when you're frustrated and you don't understand how these Republicans can be so weak, they still have a lot of money will be made off of the transformation of America from a free enterprise, industrial nation to a collapsed industry, because we still have a lot of wealth, a lot of natural resources, and a lot of potential for productivity. And they will make a fortune transferring America under the power of the European trade unions. I mean, you know, it's when you see that, you begin to realize how evil these people are. That's who controls the Republican Party. They're also the same people who control Obama. That's where your battle's at. And so, and I'm not saying that to depress people. I'm just trying to help people understand that that's the game we're fighting. And when
and
you look at people like,
they're trying to get rid of the wealthy people who aren't quite wealthy enough, because they want all that for themselves, all that money to be made. They want it for themselves. Those very top elite people, they want to control it all and own it all. So they want to get rid of all the people right below them.
How many corporations and industries and wealth of America now exists in other places in the world, whether it's factories, whether it's manufacturing or assembly plants or even banking industries. It is moved out of this country, and there are people who will create fortunes off of that process who already have and will again. And so when you look at people like Obama or you look at, you know, like Karl Rove, they're all part of the same group. It's just that Rove seems to be attached to the ability to control what the Republicans do. Or Boehner.
Real quick, Chris.
I mean, go ahead.
Hey, Chris, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I just chatting with Mark here, and he does have to roll, and he tried some last comments for us before he has to go, and then we'll continue on. So thank you very much. Go ahead, Mark. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, guys. Robert, Chris, Cindy, I was supposed to get off at 11, and my wife's kind of looking at me, so that's good. I appreciate you being in the fight and laying out that that comprehensive historical approach to some of the people behind the scenes that are pulling the strings. They haven't gotten to me yet. I remember all this. All I can say is I'm an independent person, and so like I said, going into Boston, we'll see what we can do. And by being independent like that means that I'm shut out of a lot of things. I don't get to hear a lot of things that are going on. But it just means that you stay true to what you were elected to do, and I intend on doing so. While you guys are you're fighting that fight, Cindy, thanks for calling in and talking to me as usual. Robert, thanks for having me on the show again. I'm sure I'll be on again. Maybe I can dial in one night from Boston and give you an update on how things are going.
Yeah, that sounds
great.
We'll be having a live show next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, take care, and I guess
we'll
talk soon.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Mark. Take care.
Bye, Mark.
Yeah, no, so
wow,
you
we had
Mark
a break
in,
that guy.
Almost a whole half hour after he said he's going to be able to stay, and I hope I didn't get him in trouble with the wife. But, go ahead, Chris. I think
it's really important. I don't mean to, like, over-educate people, but I think it's important to you have to step back and take the emotional content out of it to understand the battle. And one of the challenges of, you know, and I don't know how many people have ever studied Sun Tzu, you know, the art of war,
mm-hmm.
but you have to understand that the liberals and the progressives and that group of people, and you have to understand that what I call the Rockefeller Republicans, which are the globalists, the statists, the large, the Bush era type people, that is a whole. We've been fighting this battle for a long, long, long time. When the Tea Party rose up in 2010, there was an explosion. It caught everybody off guard. And I actually saw somebody say something in chat. I don't remember if it was somebody talking to me personally or in the chat, but people were like, wondering, was Roe part of, breaking down the Tea Party? Of course he was. So was Romney. And Palin knew it. Palin experienced it and saw the connections between the Romney camp and what was being done to her. That's why she couldn't stand the man, because she knew what he was.
Tea Party either. Santorum was
knew.
Not supportive to that.
Hmm? Well, but here's what I'm trying to get across, is the battle, the pressure's on. Rand Paul, Amash, Cruz, Lee, this group of people have so much attention on them because they're not doing anything great. They're doing what we hired them to do. And what happens is they're being attacked by both the left and the right. Why? What? Okay, and then you have to ask yourself, what does that mean? It means they're being effective because they're speaking to the heart and soul of the American people. Rand Paul was correct with his amendment that got voted down today, unfortunately, but he was correct. The majority of American people are sick of Egypt. They're sick of the Middle East. They're sick of our wars. They're sick of the results that they saw. Iraq. Thousands of people have been killed in Iraq since we spread democracy to Iraq. Afghanistan, Pakistan, the whole Middle East, everything that the U.S. has touched is on fire. And they have can't even speak right now, but they have violence everywhere. The whole Syria thing. Somebody let the cat out of the bag that we were backing Al-Qaeda. And what amazes me is I knew that 2 years ago. And yet the news would not cover it because that was part of a plan that goes back several, several years before Obama ever came to power, this whole Middle East plan. People are finally getting caught up with the reality of it, and they're sick of it. And when Rand Paul or Cruz or Amash or whoever the case may be stands up and just makes common sense, they get attacked from both sides because they're speaking directly to the American people. Both sides fear this because they fear that 2014 will be another Tea Party-type explosion, and it will be if people keep their heads on straight. Anyway, I didn't mean to babble so long, but I just want to throw that out there.
That's okay, Chris. It's been a while since we heard you here. We always appreciate your input. One of the things I like to do here, Chris, is, promote some good places and people, and I know you've been working hard on your Facebook group page there, Coalition of Freedom. So what I like to do is take an unabashed promotion of your thing and tell people what it's about and things of that nature.
Oh, my God. What is it about?
Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Not every thread, because there's a lot of threads.
No.
All that information.
Yeah, well, what it's about... The reason I built this is because I got tired of bouncing around Facebook groups and trying to do things and have conversations when, everybody was whatever the news of the day or the crisis of the day or the Obama this or the Obama that of the day. And it was always this chaos of, whatever mainstream media wanted to focus on, then everybody ran around and focused on that. And I've never been that kind of a person. So I built a group so we could actually have real conversations about real issues and stay on them and make sure that they didn't die. I mean, how many scandals have we had in the last month? We're not even talking about, the AP scandal anymore. We're not even talking about, Hastings died and that just kind of blipped on the screen. The Syrian war, nobody has a clue what's going on up there. You'll see nothing in the mainstream news. And so I'll build a thread on that and stay on it so that people can get educated, because all these things interconnect, whether it's Syria, Egypt, you know, what's going on financially, what's going on in the house, you know, the IRS, whatever, they all interconnect because it's all of our foreign and domestic economic and social policies tied together. And that's the reason I built the group, was so that we could stay on focus and not get knocked off every 3 days by the next, you know, American political idol news of the day thing. That was why I built the group, you know. And I always say, you know, join and get involved, because, you know, it's not about posting articles. Posting articles is like the most worthless thing you can do with your life. And it seems like 99% of people on Facebook think they're doing something because they run around post articles all day long. And what I want is conversation. That's why we do Blog Talk Radio, is so that we can communicate to people. We can, you know, Angela was just starting to get me to explain some things on what's going on in Syria. She goes, "Where do I start?" And I said, 1,400 years ago. You know, you just can't write enough, you know, to explain, you know, why we're where we're at today and exactly what's going on without having history behind it, because, you know, history is always brings us to where we are today. And that's the same thing with the Republican Party or anything else we talk about. So, you know, that's whatever. I mean, that's what the group's about.
Well, one of the things I want to, and awesome, folks, definitely if you are a Facebook user, check that out there on Facebook. As I said, just go to your search engine and put Coalition of Freedom. But one of the things that the show first started is I talked, you know, and offered a lot of folks come in, you know, if they have differing opinions or whatever. Of course, this was during the election for, you know, debate and things of that nature. But we do have someone here, the Q0, I believe that's saying that right. It looks like it's here, and I don't know, but disagrees about Rand, and he or she is putting in here, I got to scroll up, that's why I'm going to hurry to get out before I lose it, who contends, so Rand Paul is a traitor and will lean to the Dem side. He is a bot man.
Really?
So the Q0, I mean, you know, I've always offered debate here. If people disagree, that's always fine. Of course, if they want to either in chat or call in, which is preferable, because as you said, we can have conversation. Call in and let's talk about it, why you think Rand Paul will lean to the Dem side and how he's a bot man. And also, let me scroll down, there might have been some other comments on that. And they're also talking about, we're not, this is from Red Tracy, I don't know if it's linked to it, about not abandoning Israel.
I don't think anybody's abandoned Israel. I think they still get a lot of money and weapons from us, don't they?
Yeah, they they still get a lot. And so, yeah, so the Q0, if you would like to come in and tell us.
It seems like everybody in the world gets
your
money and weapons except for us. Sorry.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder about things sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know whether we have to give them money or weapons or not, but what we do need to give them is the freedom to do what they need to do to protect
mm-hmm.
themselves. We need to get the heck out of their political business and let them figure out what they're going to have to do, and we need to stay out of it. And we need to offer them any assistance we can.
Yeah, I agree.
That like, for instance, you know, if they need help with their attack on Iran's nuclear facility, then and there's something that they absolutely have in order to do it, I think we ought to do it. And then just, you know, whatever we can, it's not getting into the political arena and telling them one way or the other what they have to do.
And the point Harriet points out here in the chat, she says Israel pays back everything. She said, but Israel pays back everything, folks. That's her response.
Yeah, when they buy jets from us, they pay for them.
They get foreign aid?
They used to, I'm sure. I don't know if they still do, but they had been getting some foreign aid, but it wasn't anything like what they're giving to the rest of the creepy nations that are our enemies.
I know, isn't that cool though? I mean, think about it. You give money to this group, you give money to that group, you give arms to this group, you give arms to that group, and then what does that mean? Well, that means it never ends. It never ends. And we got war. And we have war. And we're going to have more war.
That's true, but you can't. You cannot give arms to the Muslims because you don't know whose hands they're really going to end up in. Because one minute
they
may. I know,
but isn't that? Don't you think that's the goal?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it's the goal. I think that's what Benghazi
scary,
is all about.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. The exposure that's coming out of the Middle East. I mean, since Iraq, I mean, we were all gung-ho. Remember that? Go get them. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
My son fought. I have friends that fought and died there. You know, friends that are, you know, friends and family members who are disabled for life, you know, and then you find out it had nothing to do with spreading democracy. Yeah, that's a tough one.
No, absolutely.
America, and if we didn't have the internet, we wouldn't know anything. Because the news just lies,
exactly.
Including Fox.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I stopped watching Fox News and listening to Rush Limbaugh probably since the election.
Once in a while. You know, I'll sit down in front of it once in a while and just watch, you know, like whatever, Hannity and Greta, and depend on who's
you just
the guest once in a while. You know. But otherwise, I don't spend much time on there.
Very seldom. I'm still a recovering Foxaholic, and it's been over a year since my last sit down and watch the show.
You know, I'll tell you something that's really important. One of the things that I see, just as a trend, that I see in the emotional, intellectual conversation that's going on in social media, is the left is losing. They're losing Obama, and his agenda is on the end of its ropes. He's in that downward spiral that many presidents have in their second term when people finally catch on. And the Republicans, the elites, the progressive Republicans in the party are freaking the hell out. Look at the attack on Cruz and Paul and the rest of them. You know, they're just freaking out. And so, you know, you got this thing going on between Christie and Paul. You know, it just cracks me up, you know. And you know, I remember Paul was on CNN, and Blitzhead was asking him some questions, and Paul just chuckled. And he's like, you know, almost like, God, I can't believe we're doing this. You know, it's like It's like grade school shit. Excuse my French. And it's kind of like what we experienced. But it's the same thing that we experienced in the primary, if you remember that, Robert, when we were all hot in the battle. It was like grade school crap. It's like somebody who posts on chat, you're talking about, oh, Paul, you know, he's gonna swing to the Democrat. You know, it's like these things that you would expect in junior high. You know, it's not an intellectual content. It's not a let's have a discussion. It's attacks. It's little subtle. You know, it's things that are off base and just weird, and people fire this crap out there. And all they're looking to do is just create dissidents. They're looking to create division. They're looking to create a fight. And none of that's productive about anything, because the battle is. Yeah. I mean, the question you have to ask yourself, and it's the same thing with, you know, a lot of people get caught up in 2016, and I try not to, because you've got 2014 first. And we also have to survive economically. You know, there's a whole new world of reaction to the last 4 years of, and I don't want to say Obama, because it's not all him. You know, it's the Fed, QE1, QE2, QE3, the bailouts, the printed money, the borrowed money, what's going on in China, Russia, the Middle East. All these factors are all going to come to a head. They all have cyclical processes, you know, and they can't, the Fed has been holding the interest rate at zero for a long time. We can't do it forever.
Real quick, Chris, that is a list. We'll continue, but I do see some folks on the switchboard, and if you just listening in, that's great, but if you'd like to chime in, just hit the 1 on your number dial, or if you are coming in from Skype, just send me a message from the chat, or you can also send me a message on Facebook if you'd like to chime in. We do have, I just see one drop the call. But if you would like to chime in, go ahead and call back at 347-945-7428. I do see there's about 20 minutes left of the live show. If we go into extended periods, that's great. But if you want to listen to the show live, or at least in, you know, live while you call in for the extended version, you will have to call in at the call-in number, or, of course, you're welcome to listen to the rest of the show in the archives, which is available immediately after the end of the extended period. So just hit 1 on your number dial if you'd like to chime in, or send me a message via Skype. Not Skype, if you're on Skype, the chat. So go ahead, Chris.
Send me a message on Skype. Are you tired?
Oh, dude, you wouldn't know. My wife just like, I spoke to her early, and she's like, we were having a conversation literally. She was standing right in front of me. She's like, you almost stayed off, didn't you? Just right in the middle of our conversation. And I said, no, I didn't. She'd been getting on me so much about not getting enough sleep.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's really important to you know, in the heat of battle, you know, the most important time is when it looks like all hell's breaking loose and you're up the creek without a paddle. And that's when too many people give up. And that's we live in amazing times because on one hand, when I look across the board, whether it's social issues or economic issues or war or whatever, across the battle, I see so many different dynamics occurring. And there are people fighting daily, you know, for core principles of this country and solid economics and the things that made this country great, while there's other people fighting to strip that away, you know, and to rape, pillage, and plunder America as the world economy moves in a different direction. I mean, we're in a battle right now. And in the next few years, this is going to manifest itself out, you know, and we're going to be able to look back and go, hey, I gave it everything I got, you know, and some people won't even have a clue. You know, some people are just clueless. I mean, you watch those videos of those guys doing street interviews and you just go, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I mean, I was embarrassed.
Like, really?
I was
How can you throw in the
Yeah,
story?
I was in. Well, it's terrible. I was embarrassed when I saw the numbers of people that stood up against the Muslim Brotherhood Nazi regime in Egypt. And I'm thinking, I wonder what Americans are doing right now. American Idol, Duck Dynasty, you know, Dancing with the Douchebags, whatever's playing, you know, having their barbecues, you know, and there's millions of people on the streets going, we refuse to go down the road of totalitarianism. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was great for Egypt, but on the other hand, it was like going, wow, you know? Don't people get
mm-hmm.
it, what's happening to this country, where it's going, the direction it's going?
Yeah,
you know,
I see some of the videos
right.
over there. There's people getting pulled off roofs, you know, by some
thrown.
I've seen videos terrible of them pulling these
those
kids
were
off
kids.
The roof.
Those were young, yeah. Some of those were children.
Those are kids. You've seen the video then. It was absolutely atrocious. But we do have someone new. I'd like to chime in, so open up your mic. So thank you very much for calling in. Just give us your name, where you're hailing from, and what's on your mind. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just call me Q.
Hey, Q? Okay, Q.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
I'm calling from West Virginia. Thank you. No, I've been chasing these people since the mid-90s, more or less, right? Off and on, here and there. Started getting deeper into it after 2003, deeper, like in 2006, I've been on it since then, practically full-time. So I know what I'm talking about, especially when I say Rand Paul specifically, going to start leaning more and more toward the Democrat side. He's already leaning in that direction if you compare him to his daddy. But if you compare his daddy to the truth, what is the real truth on all the laws? And if you understand law, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't understand law, then you're sitting there being all, duh, what's going on? And you're getting more and more angry and you're complaining about what's going on. And I'm speaking specifically to the guy that called in before me. I'm glad you're angry that I said that Rand Paul will be leaning to the left a lot more because at least you're aware that he's already leaning. Now, look, I'm not saying this to attack. I'm not saying this to make people angry. Rand Paul may know a little bit about the Constitution, but he's not his daddy. He may be his daddy's son, but he's already leaning more to the Democrat side. That's the entire plan that has been set up for us, for the entire union of 50 republic states, 50 republic nations. They're nation states. They're not just individual little tiny pieces underneath the federal government. The federal government is supposed to be the one at the bottom, not at the top. It's supposed to go the people, which is just us without a capital P, and then comes the states as one step down, and then comes the federal government way down at the bottom next to hell and the devil and all his little minions. That's how it's supposed to be. But they've gone and flipped it upside down on us. They pulled the fast one. Now, like I said, there's a lot of law that they used a lot. And it go all the way back to it. Go back to that, but at least back is looking at all the things that he did. And his war against the state, he proclaimed war. He was a federal government.
I'm sorry, you're starting to break up really bad. I don't know.
Are you moving around? Because you're all breaking up.
The reception's breaking up really bad. You still there, Kim?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm here.
Yeah, that sounds better.
No, I've just got a really bad connection.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is, for specificity, if you tell us ways in which he has and how he will lean to the left, go ahead and share that with us, and then we'll bring Chris back in and see what he says on it. So go ahead, Q, and give us some examples and where he is and or where he will, that you believe, lead going to the left.
Well, it's become an obvious thing to me that his father, Ron Paul, is a very good cheerleader, for us, the peasants. Although he's never really giving us the solution. I know what the solutions are. I've gone out and I've looked through all kinds of books and stuff, and I've verified it with others that do the same thing. I know what the solutions are, and the solution is not war. It's not a fight against the federal government. But we have to get out of this stupid think that citizen is a good word. Citizen means slave. As a matter of fact, it means chattel property. If I could just throw it out there. But you guys have to go out and do your homework and find out what all this really means. I'm more of a libertarian now than what I've ever been. And I've stepped so far away from the Republican and Democrat parties that you guys, I mean, not you guys specifically, but I'm saying the Democrat and Republican Party agendas, they look very communistic and very socialistic from my point of view.
There's no and doubt
every,
about that.
Yeah, we're not disagreeing with you there, too.
And every
that
year,
our leadership.
And every year, the media scoots them a little bit closer to the totalitarian side. And every year, they move right along with them. Because every year, it looks like the Dems are getting more popular. So the Republicans start to become, oh, well, we need to be more like the Democrats. When the Republicans should be saying, no, we need to be more like the Libertarians and move over here where I am, under law, in the law, and knowing the law. Because it's the law that they use to manipulate us into the messes that we're in. I mean, really, you look around you, what governs your life more than money? The fear of going to jail. What is that? Oh, that's law. law plus force. Cops are force, but they're there to force law.
But you know, and I want to bring it back to, you know, to the chat when you said, you know, Rand Paul being a traitor and what he is and will be doing, moving to the left.
Well,
and go ahead. And then Chris, if you respond.
Yeah. Okay. Look, from what I'm seeing, the social groups that he's in, you know, his circle, the people that he's clicking up with and stuff. Yeah, he stood up there and did a filibuster for 13 hours. You know, God bless him. He's got some really good stamina to sit there or stand there and talk for 13 hours. Even I don't think I could do that. And I'm a talker. But the point is, somebody has got to pay that man's bills. What he's making off of being a senator, that's not going to cover his bills. I bet you take a look at his personal bank accounts, the offshore ones anyways. I bet they're getting pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Obama, you know. $500,000 in four or five years doesn't come up to $12 million. He's a bought man. Somebody's paying him that much money to do the job he's doing, which is be a dictator. Rand Paul is a cheerleader for us. He's still part of that clique, that group. Those people over there in a foreign land called the District of Columbia. It's not part of the United States. The District of Columbia is a foreign territory. It's a completely foreign land. They're the ones that want. And it goes round and round. And it's always been going round and round. They'll tell us, oh, yeah, you know, it should be this, it should be that, it should be the other. But they don't stand up there and say, you know what? Matter of fact, it's the 14th Amendment that's screwing all you people out there. And what you need to do is expatriate out of underneath the 14th Amendment, second version of the United States Constitution. It's called the rewrite of the Constitution. And get back underneath the original U.S. Constitution that goes up to only the 10th Amendment. That's where we're supposed to be. But they won't tell you that, will they? No, they want you to believe that there's 27 amendments. But if you break down the 14th Amendment, you'll see. Break it down into its tiny little individual parts. Heck, do a part two, sentence two of the entire 14th Amendment. You'll see that your vote never counted. Nobody's vote counts. As a matter of fact, we're committing a crime according to that. By voting, we're committing a crime. But they won't tell you that. You think Ron Paul's going to tell you that? You think Rand Paul's going to tell you that? No. Why? Because to them, we are chattel property. This has all been planned.
And with that, Chris, and stay on the line, Q, because we'll bring you back on. And, you know, because I do, you know, keep the mics open here. You know, we try to, you know, bring people around to chime in. So, Chris, since the conversation with you folks, and then if you'd like to chime in after that, Cindy, that'd be great. And I do see some other folks on the line here, so just press 1 on your number dial if you'd like to chime in. So, Chris, go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is a great conversation, and I've studied the Constitution and our history and the Civil War and how that changed our country and the fact that Washington, D.C. is a corporation, you know. I mean, I've been down all these rabbit holes, and the point is, what? I mean, you're saying a lot, but it's like, okay, now what?
Okay.
I've had this conversation. I've been on these radio shows for 2 years. I've had this conversation with a lot of people, you know, and that's really great. We can sit here and talk about how the country isn't legal and the government's not legal. And, yeah, but, you know, you still got to work and pay taxes and they still got a lot of guns. And now what?
Now we make a point.
What's the purpose of this?
The purpose of this? Okay. We know you guys are awake. That's awesome. At least I'm speaking to a crowd that knows that something's going on. Not just somebody that's sitting there complaining about it and then keeps sending them, you know, their money every April, whatever. Anyways, the point is, if you really want to take this back, what we need to do is we need to find people like, there's this preacher on Facebook, and he's starting to learn that it's law that they've done and screwed us over with. There's another gentleman that did these great videos on YouTube, and he's wanting to run for Congress also. Their videos on the 14th Amendment specifically.
If you can put the links to those in the chat, and then what I can do is put those on the Bard's Logical Talk page for folks can access later, we'd really appreciate it, and they can check those out.
I think I just lost somebody. Hello?
No, I'm here.
I'm here.
We're all here.
We're here.
Okay. My connection really messed up right there.
Well, that's okay. If you could put the link to that video and to the gentleman we're talking about in the chat, what I could do is I could take that and put that in the Bard's Logical Little Talk page here on Facebook, and for people to go back later on and access it, then you know we'd appreciate it. I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Let me see if I can find it right quick. What we need to do is we need to support these people that know what's actually going on. And hopefully we can fund them. We'll pay for their running and stuff like that. And they have promised, you know, so many times that they will. Since they do know law and they've gone down this road and become libertarians, they will take over Congress and just start exposing everything, all the agendas. And if we back them and we stay within the law and we don't get stupid and violent, I believe we can change this, you know? We can finally get all this stuff straightened out. I don't know if you guys heard that, but that was Bruce Ray Riggs.
The last part we missed. But while you're looking those up and putting that in the chat for us, I'd like to turn it over to Cindy and get some comments from you, Cindy, and then we'll bring it back to Chris, and then we'll go back to you. Q, and then, you know, to set up those folks who also want to chime in or listen in. Well, I do see there's only 3 minutes left of live time, which is amazing how fast it goes. So it does look like we will be going to the extended period. And if you'd like to listen or chime into the extended period, call in at 347-945-7428. And if you'd like to chime in, just push 1 on your number dial. But for those who would not be continuing to listening to the extended version, thank you very much for coming to the show tonight, and please just go back and listen to the rest of the show on the archives, which will be available right after the extended period, which I guess for most of you would be listening to it again in the morning or sometime tomorrow. But definitely, since these shows are archived and shareable, please share the link with folks so they can have other people, you know, listen to the content as well. And check out some other things. And also, to prepare for next week, I do have some folks on from Angel Heart Farm. Check out their website at www.angelheartfarm.net. It's an awesome organization that helps out children with cancer and, you know, helps give them, you know, some things to think about other than what they're going through, you know, with you know, riding a horse, learning how to take care of a horse, things of that nature. So it's a really great organization. We'll have some folks on there next week on August the 7th. So it looks like we're giving in there to into the extended period. So we will go over to you, Cindy, and then you, Chris. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, first of all, I just want to say goodbye to everybody that has to leave. I'm sorry that some people can't call in or anything. That's it's always a bummer because sometimes we really get to going in the last hour.
Oh, I know.
Anyway.
Well, one of the things, you know, later on, you know, I'm going to, you know, extend things where You can get a third live hour, but that'll be some time coming. But it is something I am working on, Cindy. So that's something in the upcoming future that I'm definitely going to be having available here on Bard's Logic Political Talk. So go ahead, Cindy.
Well, I was just going to say they've picked the perfect agenda to try to kill America, and so we need to pick the right agenda to try to save America. And it's Red Tracy was just saying that first thing we've got to do is get rid of Obamacare and the amnesty bill, because once you do that, you can also fight for your gun rights, because once amnesty gets passed, there won't be any gun rights left for us, because the voters that will come in under amnesty are not going to vote for Republicans. They're not going to vote for the Constitution because they don't know anything about our Constitution. They have no clue what America's about and why we have been so successful. And so they will vote for gun control just because they're going to vote for the people who vote for gun control. In other words, they're going to vote for Democrats, and Democrats will gain the control, and they will get rid of our guns. To kill America, you have to kill the economy of the middle class, and the poor people aren't going to feel a whole lot of difference, because it's going to be the same for them one way or the other, except the ones that are receiving food stamps right now and government welfare checks right now, those are all going to stop. When all this, when they get what they want and the economy gets crashed, there won't be any money left for those checks to be in the mail. All the money is going to go upwards into the elite, the elite rich, and all the middle class will be down on the same level as the poor. That's the way communist nations and socialist nations go. The middle class dies, the upper class stays very small and very powerful and very rich, and then everybody else is a serf or a peasant. And they do that.
Which
they
is
do
where
that
we're
by,
headed,
yeah. They do that by getting labor on their side at first, and labor thinks they're going to get what they want, and then labor gets kicked in the butt. After they finish getting
power.
Well,
I'm seeing
that
with Obamacare.
Yep, look at Chicago.
Yeah, and that's what's happened in all the communist nations. I mean, you look in the communist nations right now. What does the Labor Party do for their people? Nothing. They don't get anything. They don't get anything in China. You don't get anything in China unless you live in a big city and you're connected to the government, you're high up in the Communist Party, or you've done something to show your loyalty to the Communist Party, and then you get rewarded. That's it. And, you know, they've had to allow a certain amount of capitalism to come in just to keep the people pacified so they don't have any more, you know, Beijing, you know, Red Square kind of things, you know. but basically, when you travel around the countryside of China, you see that the people are all poor. There is no houses along the way that look like our neighborhoods. They're all poor people. And they either live in apartments stacked up on each other, or they live in little hovels and shacks and whatever they can make. And they all work in the rice paddies and the whatever kinds of agricultural jobs they have.
Assigned, of course.
Yeah. And so that's what you get when you get communism. You don't get an equilibrium with the rich. You don't bring the rich down and bring the poor up. You just get rid of, you wipe out the middle class, and you have all poor people and one rich elite group. And it's all done with the help of the unions, which is who have been aiding and abetting the Democrats here. The unions have just been very good at doing exactly what all the communist countries have done. and then they're going to get their teeth kicked in when they finally get all the power, when the Dems finally have all the power, the elites already have all the power. So that's our fight. We either defund Obamacare and get rid of amnesty, or we're done.
Chris? Are you still with us?
Mute. Yeah, no, I was on mute. I was typing.
No,
I got chats going on, you know, all that kind of wonderful stuff. We're never done, Cindy. Never done. A lot of people, you know, most of us have a perspective of America based on our life, you know, and I, my grandparents were, you know, depression, adults in the depression. My parents grew up in the depression. Then we had, you know, Second World War, the Korean War. Then we had the age, you know, after we bombed the shit out of the factories around the world, you know, we became the industrial nation. The middle class was formed, you know, so we grew up in this, you know, post Leave It to Beaver society. And you know, it's been bad before, and it's probably going to have to get bad again before people wake up. One of the biggest frustrations I have is, and why I don't spend a lot of time talking about Obama, because, you know, he's just doing what Obama does. My frustration is with the people on the right who fail, you know, to do the things that they have the power to do to stop him. Those are the people I'm pissed off at. But when you look at the average American, I've never seen this level of apathy in my lifetime. And that's the frustration because, you know, the government.
Let me interject. Is it apathy, or is that the feeling I'm getting from a lot of folks is the apathy stems from them thinking they can't really make a difference? I think part of, you know, a lot of people, not all, but I think a lot of folks, there's apathy because they think, there's not a damn thing I could do about it anyway. So I might as well just live my life the best I can, you know, the hell with all this.
I think
right. Try to take care of, you know, mine and, you know, me and mine. You know, I mean, I think that's where a lot of people's apathy comes from. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a variety of things. I think we quit being a citizen government a long time ago, you know, and I grew up. You know, it's interesting because you have to look at the age that we live in. You know, when I grew up, my parents and my grandparents were very involved in their community, you know, whether it was helping people or politics or whatever. I grew up around people who were involved, and people are disconnected. And I don't think it's just because it's a bad economy or they don't think they can do anything. I think people are just tuned out and tuned into the internet and their games and their television, you know, like you never have been before. Yeah, you know, a lot of it is just, are you willing to educate yourself? You know, are you gonna pick a topic and say, I want to learn about this, and spend the time that it takes to actually learn things and apply critical thinking? I don't see critical thinking as a common denominator in most of society today. That's frustrating. You know, they turn on the television. The news tells them here's what's important today. Here's the crisis of the day. You know, here's the left. Here's the right. Here's what you should be scared of. Here's what you should be mad about. And they're just programmed. You know, it's like 1984. You know, it's that whole program mentality. And it's gotten pretty bad in the last 4.5 years, but obviously not bad enough. And my son talks about this. You know, he said the difference in the Great Depression and today is you don't see the welfare lines. You don't see the soup kitchen lines like you used to. Well, that's because they all get credit cards, you know, their Obama card with their Obama phone, and they're living in their Obama house, you know. And so you don't see it on the street, the abject poverty that you saw during the Great Depression. So there's a level of struggle that is so different than it was in that era. And that's why I say all the time, I think it's going to have to get worse before it gets better.
Well, also, the, you know, the way people think about themselves who are on those kind of programs are much different. I mean, even back when I was a kid, you know, when you'd have a family who had to take government
factor.
There's a sense of shame there that doesn't seem to be as present today as it was, you know, even back when I was a child.
Yeah. Mhm.
Yeah, and there's no pride. There's no pride. There's no national. There's very little national pride. We spend most of our time watching American Idol, or you know, the Zimmerman trial, or the, you know, the issue with the you know, the drug issue and the and major sports that's going on. You know, people are just caught up in shit that has nothing to do with reality, and they stay caught up in it because I guess it's easier than actually get involved in your life or your marriage or your children's life or your community. How many people even know their neighbors?
Oh, my gosh, I was just about to make that point. a few minutes ago. So, again, I mean, seriously, I mean, I have to admit, I don't. But I think a lot of us are very busy, you know. I mean, you know, my wife and I, you know, we joke around each other, call each other ship. Because, I mean, we're still, I guess, would be considered newlyweds of sorts. And we're like two ships passing in the night. You know, it's like, you know, we barely have time to, you know, we spend much time together. And, but, you know, I think that's part of it. I think a big part of it, as you said, Chris, is, you know, people just, you know, they're watching more unreality reality shows instead of, you know, paying attention and being involved in what's really important, being involved in the communities, being involved in, you know, in politics and organizations, and they're not doing that, and we're definitely seeing the fruits of that unlabor, as I would say.
Well, you also take a look at how much time we spend looking at national scale issues versus community issues. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, even up until when I first moved back out of Alaska, I never paid attention to national issues at all. You know, except, I mean, it was my community, my state. Well, you know, I lived in the state that I grew up in, you know, and that was my reality. And now our whole reality is the federal government and everything that the federal government touches, which is very key to what Q was talking about, is that it was never supposed to be that way. And we all knew that, and our founding fathers knew that, and they put in checks and balances systems to prevent that. You know, that whole thing he was talking about of everything's flipped upside down is very true. The states, you know, ratified the Constitution. They built the federal government for a specific purpose with enumerated powers and limits on those powers. It was a tool so those individual sovereign nation states, you know, mostly had to do with defense, trade, and issues like that. You know, that was what it was built for. It was a tool and a mechanism, you know, so that all those colonies could function together as individual countries, so to speak, with a common goal, because we were a trade nation. You know, America, you know, they made things, they grew things, they were productive, they were creative, and they sold their goods all over the world. It was a trade colony, a nation, as it were. And that changed over the years. And I'm old enough to, and because of my parents, you know, growing up, my mom is a history sociology major, my dad is a scientist, you know, I was always they were always, and my grandmother was a teacher and very involved in politics, so they were always educating me on, look at this thing going on in the country right now, and here's what's wrong with that, and here's what the impact will be. And so I had that kind of cause and effect growing up, so I was actually able to see how the federal government took over a little bit more until now, you know, the states are subservient to the federal government. It was never meant to be that way. And we can argue that all day long, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But the fact is how it is. Yeah, and it's going to be a big turnaround, you know, and we've got a lot of great people, the 10th Amendment Center, and a lot of great people that are working, you know, at the state power and trying to wrestle back, you know, that individual sovereignty. And will it ever come back? Who knows? You know, but I definitely, it's got to come back from where it's gone, because, you know, and this is something that people, you know, in my earlier diatribe when I was off on that roll, people need to understand is that America is not ruled by Americans anymore. That's
right.
The problem.
We the people have lost our power. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not we the people to begin with.
Go ahead, Kip.
We're not we the people. Did you get that?
Yeah, I heard you. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Yeah, we are not we the people. That contract does not pertain to us. Sorry, I hate to say this to you, but by law, that contract is a private contract. We the people are the individuals that signed that contract. That contract is for them. They, the people, and their posterity, not we, the public, or we, the masses. I like using we, the masses, because, you know, there's a lot of us, and that's what that means. But we, the people, is a very exclusive group. It's always been known throughout history and in law that we, the people, means the rulers of nations, specifically the monarchy, you know, and those guys. But in law and in international law specifically, you can find many references to the people or we the people and that group there. I'm sorry, I had to chime in on that one.
No, that's a good point.
I'm getting ready to open the mic up for you anyway to see if you wanted to chime in on what has been said so far. So if there's anything else you want to add to that, go ahead, and then we'll bring it back to Cindy.
Yeah.
And I do see folks on the line. If you'd like to chime in, just push one on your number dial. If you want to chime in as well, go ahead, Q.
Well, no, that's, you know, when you read the preamble, I mean, the first, you know, first thing it says is we the people, and then it mm-hmm. goes down, do ordain, which means that they're the ones putting it in. They're the ones making it. You know, it's their agreement. In it, it tells you there was already a union established. This contract is just to make it more perfect. What meant is more into the legal system rather than the law or natural law, the law system that we had before that contract came into play. And it was that contract is there to tie up the states and to tie us up commerce, which they seen, you know, this place used to be a very, very, very rich place. I mean, we got our own gold, we got our own silver, we got our own trees, we have massive fields where we can put all kinds of food and da-da-da, you know, but they wanted to tie it all in together as one little thing that they could control, and they did it via the Virginia Company, you know, and the, what the heck was that company that the English monarchy used to have, the East India Company and all those.
East India.
Rigmarole.
Right.
It all ties in, and it all goes back to the Magna Carta where, you know, everybody was free for just a little tiny while, and then back right before, right after we won physically we won the revolution. On paper and in the banks, we lost. We lost massively by about, my estimate was somewhere around 50 million in gold and silver coin, which today would translate to billions and trillions possibly. Anyways,
let me throw something in on top of that, some little piece. Go ahead.
Real quick, we will get back to that, but I do have someone who's been on the line and they'd like to chime in, and I want to bring him in. And that's Harriet?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Harriet.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Two things I learned today. There are plenty of jobs in the oil industry and energy industry. I believe it's in South Dakota. And people that are moving there are living very well. Secondly, that also follows in Texas. That was so encouraging to me, and that tells me that sticking to my guns, fighting for it to be a conservative, is nothing more important the country needs to look at now. We have to put everything aside for the moment and work on getting the new rules changed in Boston this month, because if we don't, we will not have any free nor fair elections anymore. our candidates will be selected instead of elected, and just think what a mess we'll be in. So I've been calling, I've been faxing my committeemen, my state committeemen. I've been going into other states, looking up on the internet, dropping emails, dropping free faxes. If I can get people on the phone, I would rather talk to them. I now have the name of the hotel where the summer meeting is going to be held in Boston. And I've been communicating with Mark and Brian and supporting them. And I'm going to be calling the hotel. I'm going to take a long shot because, as some people know me well, I am daring, and see what their fax service is at the hotel so that we can continue to bring in the faxes while they're in the meetings and not let this rest.
Real quick, Harriet, we will continue with that, but I did get a message here that Chris has to go himself, so I'd like to give him the opportunity for any last comments that he'd like to make, and then we'll move on with that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Interesting conversation, you know, and Harriet has got good input, and she's on it, and she stays on it, and she's focused, and so listen to what she's got to say. But we'll talk to you guys again. I got to run.
All right, okay, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
Go ahead, Harry. I just want to
I want to beef up everyone. I go on the internet. I ask people, can you come and help me? Can you, people that blog 24 hours a day, can you please help me? Can you make some calls to your committee people? It's just two committee people that go into the Boston meeting to vote. Can you make some calls? Call every day. Call a couple times. Send a fax. I mean, you know, you can't give up. If you give up, then we're dead. That's it.
Really fail when you quit. You know, it's a little thing I've always, you know. So.
Yes. And I could be right there in Washington tonight, this week, at a very, very big Dow convention that I have belonged to the association for years, staying in the Washington Hilton and going to meetings and buying Dows and going out and eating. But I figure that is time taken away from my purpose here, and that is something with the free country we'll be able to do again next year. So I'm sacrificing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for calling into the show, Harry, and all that you're doing. Go ahead, Sonia.
And we're sacrificing a lot of sleep, too.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Chris mentioned earlier, it's like, are you tired, Robert? I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah, you sound good.
My wife keeps getting on me about that, like, Robert? Yeah, or she'll call me Robert. But, she's like, Rob, you need to, she's like, you're dozing off as we're talking right here. And I'm like, I try to play it off, but I'm not, but. You know, but anyway, that's not what we're talking about here on the show tonight.
But I want to just beef up everybody. You know, come on now. We got to make calls. It only takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I'm going to be finding out the fax service in the hotel, and I'm going to be putting that online. And during the meeting, we got to keep faxing and faxing and faxing. I want to see what the hotel's fax number is and if, in fact, they will distribute the faxes for us. And then I'll come back and let you know.
Okay. Sounds like a good idea.
Well, thank you very much, Cindy. So, not Cindy, Harriet. I guess
that's right.
Some of the
tires
from the show.
Cindy's working hard, too.
Oh, I know. I know there's a lot of folks, and I appreciate all the permission you've got in the show tonight, Harriet, you too, Cindy, and all your contributions.
Okay. Well, everybody does a little.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Harriet. And Q, we'll bring the mic back to you if there's anything you'd like to add. And then it looks like we're at the bottom of the hour, and so I may close the extended period up in just a little bit. So if you've got anything, Q, that you'd like to add, go ahead.
Well, I really don't know what else I would like to add other than the fact that we need more unity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many pro-freedom, pro-liberty groups out here, and we're like, oh no, we got the better group, and they're like, oh no, we got the better group, and you know, all this tension between, and that's wrong. That's just incorrect. What we should all be doing is helping each other and promoting each other and seeing what our similarities are, and stick to the similarities. The heck with the differences. You know, the differences will work themselves out. We need much more unity at a local level within our communities. We don't really need leadership because we all know what needs to happen. I just lost my train of thought. We all know what needs to happen at the local level. And at the local level is where it needs to start. We need unity within our groups, like this group should be united with another group, and, you know, and start making a grassroots movement where we're all united in one direction toward the Republic. The heck with all this disparity and, oh, you know, competition between the groups. That's wrong. It's the competition is between us and the federal government. That's the competition. We don't need state leadership. We don't need federal leadership. We don't need any leadership higher than our local groups. As a matter of fact, in all our local groups, we can all be leaders because we all have a voice and we should all be listened to. That's, I don't know if I can stress the unity side of it enough. That's all I got to say, really.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate you coming on and calling to the show. You're welcome to call in at any show, and please tune in next week when I am interviewing some folks from a great organization, and we will be talking about the Angel Heart Farm, and check that out at angelheartfarm.net. One of the goals, I'm just going to put it out there with folks, is one of the goals for me having these people on the show is I want people to go to their page, check them out, great organization, and if they have it, donate to their cause. I think what they do is a beautiful thing, and we'll save it for them to talk about next week. But hopefully we can get a lot of folks coming in on the show and listening in both live next week and then on the archives. Share it to a lot of folks because one of the things I like to do here on Bard's Logic is to promote organizations such as the Angel Heart Farm because they do great work for people, and this is for kids. So it's a very touching thing. Check it out. And we'll have those folks on the show next week. So, Cindy, I'll leave some parting words for you to say, and then I'll close. Go ahead and start closing up the show.
All right, I'll reiterate what I said in the chat a little while ago that, Red Tracy was concerned, how do we get the general masses of people to get this information? How do we make the low information voters become high information voters despite the media? Because the media is, anybody that bothers to listen to the media isn't getting the right story, and those who don't bother to listen to the media really don't get the right story. So how do you bring the message to the general masses? And that's why I like the overpasses for Obama's impeachment movement. I think that's the way you've got to get your message out on the streets. And we need to probably take that even a step farther than what it is and bring it to city corners, you know, downtown city corners for Obama's impeachment, you know. I mean, really just get these signs around to where people can read them. I'm not sure that the overpasses brings attention to the issue of impeachment. Why we want him impeached is not really represented there because you cannot make the letters on the signs big enough that people, and they're going under the overpass at 70, 75 miles an hour. They don't really have a lot of time to read what you've written. So how do you get the message to them? Well, after they see it.
Well, yeah, I can tell you before they, you know, they could come on to the listen to the archive of the show we did, I believe, last week, Obama's Seven Deadly Sins and the Movement to Impeach Him. They can listen to the show and hear more details of it. And we do talk about seven reasons for why we'd want to have Obama impeached. So I know that's a shameless plug.
I'm talking about people that aren't even
that
on
show.
I'm talking about people that aren't on social media either. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't get on their computers.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They don't even have a computer. Like my mom and dad, I have so
that's
much
very
trouble
good point
getting points over to them. And my husband, he won't. He has access, but he won't.
Mm-hmm.
He won't spend the time
on it. Well, that's one of the good things about these archive shows, Cindy, is you can share a link, which, yes, it involves the internet, but you can also download these shows as MP3s, in which you can download them and you can save them on if they have a smartphone. I know some folks don't, but for those who maybe have a cell phone, you know, or a smartphone, they could play the MP3 on that. Or since it is an MP3 file, it can be downloaded to a CD. You know, and if someone has a CD player, they can listen to these shows on a CD. Or if they have an iPod, you know, where they listen to music on the iPod. I know that you can go to iTunes and you can find Bard's Logic Political Talk episodes on iTunes. So that's another way folks can listen to the show, you know, and get the information about it. So there's ways other than with folks who have computers to be able to listen to the content, be able to get the content.
Well, yeah, I'm not worried about the folks with the computers. They, you know, we can tell them. I mean, you can lead a horse to water.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the people who have CD players can get the content because these MP, like yourself or your parents, you could download the MP3, burn it onto a CD, and they can listen to the show.
I don't have that capability.
Well, no, it's not that hard. I mean, any computer can burn. Any computer can burn. You know, or can, you know, basically download an MP3 onto a CD. Any computer could do that now. You put the MP3 in a file, you put the disk inside, you know, the computer, you know, disk writer, and then basically it says download the disk, and it'll download it, you give them the CD, they can plop that in a CD player. I believe they can stop, you know, in a CD plan, they can listen to the content that way.
Well, like I said, though, that's a lot of technology that our older Republican membership does not know how to use and doesn't want to know how to use it. And also, there's a lot of Democrats out there who don't really understand that their party is not the same anymore. It's not the party of Kennedy, and the way to get the information to them, I'm afraid, is not through, you know, the technology too, because they're just too old. They're just old.
I understand, Cindy, but a CD's not that complicated. I mean, to play a CD, even for, you know, the folks that aren't as technologically savvy, it doesn't take a lot to put a CD in the CD player and just listen to the CD. I mean, you know, someone, you know, would have to create it for them if they did not possess the knowledge to do it, or the technology to do it. But I mean, you say, hey, I got this great content on the CD. Just pop it in your CD player and listen to it. You know, I mean, no, I'm sure there's going to be some out there that doesn't have CD players as well. But I mean,
my mom and dad. I don't think my mom and dad have one.
No, have a CD player?
I don't think they do. I'm sitting here trying to think of where it would be in the house, and I don't think they have one.
Well, they're relatively cheap, and they are, you know, they're not very. You don't need a lot of technology, you know, technical savvy in order to use them. So, I mean, I know, I mean, there's other ways to get out of the commission as well.
Yeah, the message just has to get down to the street. you know, there's only so much those of it. I mean, when you like, I have so many friends. Okay, I've already got one Facebook page where I don't go on there anymore with political stuff because I got so much flack because the people that are my friends on those page, they don't want to hear it. They're tired of hearing politics. They don't want to know anything. They're just like, don't post anymore on my page, you know. And so I just completely abandoned that page. And you know how I switched over to my political page. And so, but the thing is, on my political page, I'm just preaching to the choir there. There's, you know, those aren't the people that need to hear what we need to tell them. It's the people on the other page that need to hear it, but they're closing their ears. So, and even so, there's only 400 of them. If we had, 500, anyway, so if we had people on the street, when you're on the street, and that's the reason holding signs is always, you know, effective. We still do it for campaigns, even though we spend millions of dollars in advertising. Campaigns still put people on the street with a sign, and that's because you get so many people go by that have to see that sign. They will see that sign. Okay, it's not like a commercial. Like, another political right? And if you put the, and then you could even make, and when you get down on the street level where the cars are stopping at a stoplight, they can read more information, and so you can put more information on your sign. So I don't know. I think it needs to come. It needs to stay on the overpasses, but I think it also needs to come down on street level and really get this message out to the masses that don't necessarily get on the internet or wouldn't get on the internet if they had the ability, and they just don't want to. But you can kind of force them. I mean, it's like going by an accident. People look at the accident. When they see these signs, they just sort of get drawn there and they read it, just out of interest. They read it. So,
right, but also pay attention to the roads, folks.
Well, I'm talking about
That's my safety disclosure.
Well, and that's true. And here's the thing. Those overpass people, they've been criticized because the police are saying, well, you're distracting these drivers going 70, 75 miles an hour. And they have a point there, except they really don't have anything to go on because nobody has caused an accident.
Right.
With those things.
That would be the same as saying, well, you know, you shouldn't have any billboards on the highways.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, then you have to, like, well, what about the billboard? I mean, there's billboards all over highways. So do we take down all the billboards?
You got it. You got it, Robert. And the bumper stickers. Everybody's got to take their bumper stickers off their car. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. I don't know.
Well, go ahead.
Nothing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wind things down and thank everyone for coming on to the show tonight. Be great to see everyone back, and you know, I'd say it again. You know, check out next week's show. It's going to be going to have some fantastic folks on, and I'm really looking forward to it. Really great folks, and so I will say, go ahead and check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. You can send me a message to host through the contact page. There's also a Get Involved page where you'll see some links, some are buttons with links on them. That will take you to the Bard's Logic Political Talk page on Facebook where I post some of the links that you'll hear on the show. And also there is a Bard's Logic Political Talk group that folks can join as well. So check those out. And if you like the content of tonight, just like the page as well. And so also, as I said, you know, we were talking about earlier about sharing the archives to get the content out to other folks, and I really appreciate it. And last but not least, there is a follow button where folks can follow the show simply by going to that little follow button underneath the show's icon here on Blog Talk Radio, in which they'll receive emails on the upcoming shows. So I will end tonight, as I do every night, and that is by playing the song by Aubrey Ashburn, and you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. That's AubreyAshburn.com. So thanks again, everyone. Take care. Looking forward to seeing you again, and good night.
Thank you, Robert. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, guys.